It's a mad, mad world. Misty and Jeff Berholtz are madly in love with music, with the Beatles in particular, with snazzy fashion where Piccadilly meets Haight-Ashbury. They're in love with life and with each other. Modern vintage songwriters and co-founders of the very unique and wildly popular band The Newbies, with side projects The Tubies, The Duo Jets, The Newbies with the B-Strings and the Hornets. The hippest couple on the local music scene is here in the studio at WVXU. Jeff and Misty, welcome.
Well, thank you for thinking we're hip.
Yes.
I'm not just thinking it. How about we open up with a song?
Senses are weak, I'm lacking in skill. With all these confessions, I am suffering still. I'm kept but I'm lonesome, a cat in a box. A stone that was rolling turned to a pile of rock. Patience I am owed, the sinner's turn to say. Take what they're given with very little complaint. I start to recognize why I must transcend. No more giving in, no giving in. I start to recognize why I must transcend. No more giving in. A dog that had strayed, given a home, looks out of the window and he's missing the road. Was he happier out there when that leash snapped? He must have had reasons for not turning back. Patience I am owed, a sinner's turn to say. What they're given with very little complaint. I start to recognize why I must transcend. No more giving in, no giving in. I start to recognize why I must transcend. No more giving in. Patience I am owed, sinners turn to save, take what they're given with very little complaint, and I start to recognize why I must transcend. No more giving in, no giving in, and I start to recognize why I must transcend. No more giving in, no giving in. I start to
That was a new song called Transcend. One of yours, Misty?
Yeah, it's actually not new. It's on the Modern Vintage record. We've done it even years preceding that. It's just one of our favorites to do because I think it's the most Beatle-y of all of the original songs that we have.
Absolutely.
That would be a high priority on your list.
Of course.
Well, I think it was a bit intentional. You know, we have so much love for the Beatles, and that song won her a Gretsch guitar at a Beatles.
A little songwriting contest, which I'm not really normally into the competition, but a friend of mine was hosting it, and she needed some warm bodies, I think, for the competition.
And you needed a new Gretsch.
I never expected that that I would walk away with it, so the fix might have been in.
The fix was in, huh?
The last time I saw you two, you were busking outside of the Paul McCartney concert.
We got our tickets because of that.
You did.
We got the tickets, and one of them was not legit.
One of them was a fake.
Yeah, but we did make enough money to, when we got there, we did not have tickets, and we stayed in front and raised enough money to get tickets. So Jason, our drummer, he never seen Paul McCartney. We've seen him several times, so I let them go in, and I sat out with friends. But I'll tell you, sitting out on that walkway, if you get the right spot, you can thoroughly enjoy a concert. If they have the video wall up, it just looks great, sounds great. So I ended up enjoying it anyway. So
what is it about the Beatles? What is it that connects you two to those four?
Well, I think that, oddly enough, we came to the Beatles a little bit later than the average person does. You know, I think you're kind of...
Don't get it wrong. We loved them as children, just like everybody else did, and we were spoon-fed them by our parents.
I wasn't really. We were more into, like, Motown and country music and things like that.
Yeah. Where I was Beatles, The Who. Pinball Wizard was one of my favorite songs as a kid. Lay Down Sally. I remember going to preschool. I do have memories of being dropped off at preschool listening to Lay Down Sally and the Beatles and loving them.
It was when I was driving around one day and Fresh Air was doing a feature about Let It Be Naked when it was released. And I thought, how is it that I don't know these Beatles songs? I'm not even familiar with them. I thought they were just part of our DNA growing up. You know, anytime after the Beatles came out, it was just always there.
And I heard Long and Winding Road come on one of the local stations. And I was just it was just really neat to hear the Billy Preston solo as opposed to the Phil Spector strings. And I was like, wow, that's really raw and beautiful. So we bought the album and then it just snowballed from there. We'd drive around listening to that record. And then next thing you know, we had a trip to Europe and we ended up going to Liverpool. Then we got involved in doing local charitable events where we were hosting like a Beatles,
like a charity night where we'd host 10 bands and everybody play three Beatles.
Yeah, like
songs.
A Beatles fest.
Yeah, a little festival, and it really just started to snowball from there because we started digging into the catalog then and wanting to do stuff. You know, when you have 10 bands, they all want to pick Beatles songs. There's a lot of crossover, so you start thinking, oh, what's some of the stuff that other people might not think to play? Mm-hmm. And then we started incorporating when the string section became part of the band. That's when it started to get really juicy. We could get into catalogs or songs on the catalog that even the Beatles couldn't perform live. There was kind of a shortage of that in the live music world, and I think that's really what just springboarded us big time into this being like a part-time job.
Adding
for
those
us.
Strings changed our lives forever. I mean, there was really a dynamic response from the audience, not only in the Beatles music we were doing, but that started to creep over into our original music, and people started gravitating to everything we did, and I was just, wow, look at this. But the next thing I know, we went on this Beatles sabbatical for 10 years of our lives, and it brought us from coast to coast on tour, recreating
Europe.
The Beatles Love album, actually playing in the Cavern Club. I mean, we've been all over the world because of that one show we did, charitable show we did here in Cincinnati. It's just unbelievable.
Let's talk about those strings a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a massive undertaking. Who writes those charts? Where do you get your players?
My friend Vince Scicchetti, who was a friend of a college friend of ours, mutual friend, he came to town and said he wanted to do something called Classical Revolution. And I believe they still hold that at Northside Tavern, where you have kind of an open mic for classical string players. And so this is something that goes on in many cities. I think it started kind of in the San Francisco area. So really cool way for string players to get together and just sight read beautiful music and drink some beer and have a great time. And there's no pressure on in terms of a paid gig for them. They can just kind of roll their sleeves up. So as a part of that, we said, you know, we're doing this rock thing and he wanted to do some things that were more rock and roll. And that's where that partnership began. And then I started to see how it worked. I didn't even at the time we did that first show with strings know what clef a viola read. I had no idea how to translate music. I could barely read music as a guitar player. Myself. So I started asking questions and then all of a sudden I started creating charts using Pro Tools and Sibelius. That nothing's more rewarding than seeing that moment where you create an arrangement and then put it in front of players for the first time and then what you envisioned in your head comes out. And so it's addicting. We always seem to add either horns or strings now, but it's an ongoing process. You're continuing to learn about it and develop from it. We owe that to the Beatles. It's definitely created a more interesting dimension to our music.
Are you still touring that show, Misty?
Not really touring. We've done a lot of one-off shows where we'll have like a casino gig or a festival gig. The show that we were touring with was a 20-piece band. Mm-hmm. And then we had front of house sound, our monitor guy, couple of wives, I think. And
in the mix.
were on tour with us. So we had quite a group going all over the place. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, a lot of mouths to feed. So I don't know if we'd ever have the opportunity to get in the van for a month again and go city to city, or even if we could, because, you know, everyone's got children and or jobs that they're taking a break from. But the one-off shows are great because you can get on a plane, end up in a city, play your gig, you know, hang out, hopefully, if you're lucky enough, for a day or two, and then go somewhere else.
Yeah, and to be clear, we do have an actual performance of that coming up at the end of May at Abbey Road on the River in Jeffersonville, Indiana, down in the Louisville area. And we will be recreating that Love album. It'll be more than 20 people on the stage. You know, we usually have some special guests, sometimes who's who, people from the Beatles. I know Lawrence Juber, who played in Wings, has come up with us. We had Jake Clemens come up with us, nephew of Clarence Clemens. He came up and played with us, and he's a fantastic musician. But it's kind of like, that's a very special event for us, but we will be recreating the actual Love album that you see when you go see the Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas. And it's a great mashup of all the tunes, which allows a lot of people. It's like a battle royal of Beatles, if you will, except everybody at the end is still standing.
Do you think there's anyone in the world who doesn't love the Beatles?
Yes, there are. There absolutely are.
What a sad individual.
Yeah, right. Shame on that one person, whoever you are.
Yeah, respect that person's right. Visiting with Misty and Jeff Perholz tonight, the Newbies, of course, famous for their Beatles sets, but you're not a clone band, and you're not only a Beatles tribute band, you also write a lot of your own music. How about doing one of your own tunes?
That sounds good. We're going to do a tune called The Ballad of Sullivan Blue. It's Dear Sarah, The Ballad of Sullivan Blue. And this song came to light from watching the Ken Burns documentary, The Civil War. And the first episode, the very last part of it, is a segment called Honorable Manhood. And Sullivan Blue was a soldier at the Battle of Bull Run, and he was going to the Battle of Bull Run and knew he was going to die in that battle. And so he jotted down the most beautiful letter ever written in the history of the world to his wife, reconciling who he was, apologizing for things he had done wrong, so forth. And so when he went to the battle, he was killed at battle, and they found this letter in his trunk and delivered it to his wife. So anyway, it's the Ballad of Sullivan Blue.
It's Sullivan's words, mm-hmm, adapted.
Yeah, Sullivan's words adapted by us. It took us a while to do that. So here goes. Gratifying me.
got to be.
That's a new song.
Yes.
That is a new
song. Yeah, that's a very new song.
Dear Sarah, the Ballad of Sullivan Ballou, written by Jeff Perholtz and Sullivan Ballou.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yes, translated or edited by Jeff, I guess.
Yeah. It was quite a process.
Jeff, you were telling me what a tender hand you had to take with not messing with his words and yet fitting it into meter and rhyme.
Well, like you said about the Beatles, that who doesn't like the Beatles? Who doesn't cry when they see this? I strongly recommend watching The Civil War again if you haven't seen it in a while. I know they've remastered it, so to speak. But that first episode at the end is very much worth watching. And I show it to anybody and everybody, and they all get emotional when they see it. And so it literally did take 3 months to take those words from a letter and try not to desecrate or change what he was saying. And so, yeah, you would get through a line and then you would put the guitar down and go do something else.
He called it a stamp collection that summer.
It was a stamp collection.
You know, you go down and pick at it a couple hours every night and come upstairs and disappear again the next night and do the same thing. And I mean, I've known Jeff for over 20 years, and it's hands down, I think, the most beautiful song that he's ever written. Well, it's so masterfully composed, and I would have never been able to think about how to use his words with a rhyming structure and just to not lose the feeling as well. So I'm very proud.
Thank you. And the rewards, you know, one of the biggest rewards I've had coming from that song is when we performed it at Baker Hunt. Ray Kingsbury, who ran Baker Hunt for many years, was retiring, and in the audience was a vet who had heard that song, and it had brought tears to his eyes, and he came up and thanked me, and he says, anybody who will show respect to vets and dedicating a song to any one of us is a hero in my mind, you know. And that was really emotional for me to hear that. And I never thought of getting some sort of reward like that out of it. I thought of it, letting people actually hear that letter and bringing light to it, like Ken Burns did, was good enough.
And sure, it was a Civil War letter, but that gentleman was right. It could be applicable to any soldier in any situation.
Yeah.
Any plans to record that one? I hope.
It is recorded.
It's recorded. And as we work on a new album, it will be on the new album. So that's...
We did a limited release last summer, sort of a greatest hits package slash some unreleased things. recordings for kind of featuring the songwriting of Jeff and I exclusively, just because we play a lot as a duet now.
That's for the tubies part of
the tubies. And so he already had that song recorded, so I made it the lead out track on that compilation, which is only available at our shows at the moment.
So yeah, gives everybody an excuse to
hopefully
come out.
But this should be a good motivation to actually, though, get it posted like on iTunes and things like that, which we've just not
in your spare time.
Around.
Yeah, right.
Talking with Jeff and Misty Perholtz tonight, and we're going to let him go here in just a minute. You guys don't just play the music, you live the lifestyle, and you dress the part. Where do you get your threads?
Lots of really cool places.
This
and
is
if
100%
they're listening,
Misty,
I'll
way.
Take a discount. Jeff gets most of his clothes from an online store that's out of Manchester, England, called Adam Retro, like the atom bomb, Adam Retro. And it's actually pretty affordable for what you can get. And they're very flashy clothes.
And they're not
for
cheap
men.
Either. They last a long time.
Yeah, they definitely are strong, good wear and tear for rock bands. I find mine every place under the sun that you can imagine. I get a lot of handmade stuff from Etsy.com. All you got to do is go on and search Paisley Velvet Bell Bottoms and you're in.
But you know, the best part is that it's a write-off for the band. You know, we have an actual column in our accounting that says Newbies Wardrobe on it, you know. So,
but we've also had our bass player's wife, Tiffany Lush. She's handmade a lot of our costumes,
yeah.
Like our kind of thematic costumes. Like we've had a circus theme for one show and she handmade all of these crazy psychedelic circus outfits. We had one where we were all in silver, one where y'all did like the colors of the Union Jack / American flag in our outfits.
Yeah. And I you know, there's one guy who just went back into photos, you know, looks at the back of albums and he says, that's an awesome suit. And so we had a website and he had a suit when Mick Jagger, who was he marrying? Because he's had how many wives?
I'm not sure which one he was.
But there's a picture of Mick Jagger at his wedding and the suit was just totally awesome. And you see him wearing that suit when he's down at Muscle Shoals, like recording Wild Horses. And I thought, wow, that's a cool suit. So they recreated that for me and they tailor it right to your size.
Now, you know, he was wearing gym shorts when he recorded that.
Yeah.
And a dirty t-shirt.
Yes.
Talking with the newbies, what's happening this summer? You mentioned Abbey Road on the River. What other
That's
shows?
The main thing that we always want to tell people about, because I think those of us in Greater Cincinnati might not be aware of it. And it's so close that you're missing out on quite a party. It's a 5-day long party. It's summer camp meets Woodstock meets Star Wars convention. It's like anything that floats your boat in this kind of convention world you can find. If you just want to go for concerts, if you just want to go for the fun of sitting on the lawn and drinking beer, or if you want to go and get deep and talk to experts that know a lot about the Beatles. Actually, Jeff Emmerich is going to be the keynote speaker this year, recording engineer for the Beatles.
Yeah, he started as recording engineer. I think his first session that he engineered was Rain when he was the lead engineer. So from that point on, Emmerich did vast majority of the Beatles catalog. And this man is going to be there. He's a very kind person. He's very active on social media. And I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere. And here he is coming to Abbey Road to give a presentation. So he's coming. Again, we are going to recreate the Love album with a band from Canada named All You Need Is Love and a Chicago lookalike Beatles tribute named Britbeat and a few other guest musicians, of course, strings and horns. Also coming is Vanilla Fudge and
America.
So
we are actually on Saturday evening playing right after America.
Yeah.
So that should be really
cool. They're opening for
you. America's opening for us. That's what, yep.
Good gig for those guys.
Yeah. So, but Abbey Road on the River is Memorial Day weekend. Anybody who is a fan of music should go. And like she said, it's an all ages type situation. So we always say, leave your kids at home or bring your kids. It's up to you.
Or be the kids.
Correct.
You might find a hippie or two on the lawn out there.
Without question. And then what's the other one we got going?
Oh, locally, though, it's the second Saturday in May, whatever that may be, the 12th, mm-hmm. I think, in Covington, Kentucky, our hometown. We're playing a new festival that's put on by Trinity Episcopal Church called Sprouts and Stouts. And they've always had a garden mart every year. And so they've expanded the garden mart. And it's a pretty fun thing to go and do in Covington. And they're having a full live music experience as well this year. So ourselves and then our other Kentucky brothers, the Turkeys, will be the musical entertainment that day.
Misty and Jeff Perholtz celebrate life with every breath they take and every note that they play. Their love of performing and their endless vintage pop energy have taken an idea and turned it into a career. It's yielded 4 albums of original music, a hugely in-demand Beatles show, and plenty of spin-offs with an enormous songwriting music-making family. Their rich harmonies and lush orchestrations, rock and roll sensibility, and fearless positivity in a world that can sometimes be quite negative, and some really great clothes are just the beginning of the story. It's a long and winding road that they travel, and they do so joyously together. For information on their upcoming performances and information on their CDs, visit our website, wvxu.org. Jeff and Misty, we've been talking Beatles all night long. Are you going to play one for us?
You bet we will. My favorite Beatles song.
Here's one from the rooftop.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming by. For WVXU, I'm Elaine Deal. Here are Jeff and Misty Perholtz.
I've got a feeling deep inside, oh yeah, oh yeah. I've got a feeling I can't hide, oh no, oh no, 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 yeah. Oh, please believe me, I hate to miss the train. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you believe me, I won't be late again. No, no. Oh, no. No, no. Feeling that keeps me on my toes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I've got a feeling, I think that everybody knows. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I've got a feeling.